Well, good morning. Welcome the visitors, everybody to worship with us. I'm not normally up here. I had to think of what I've heard one preacher say one time. He said he's like a spare tire, that once in a while they'll kick him, see if he's still up full of air. So maybe that's me this morning. I don't know. So the message that I have prepared this morning was something that I'm experiencing recently. God is speaking to me on this subject. So I'm preaching to myself, and I'll let you listen in, I guess. So, and what I'm really wanting to share this morning is the level of our commitment to Christ, to God. And John 21, I might turn to that. There's a portion of Scripture, and I guess the heading of the message is, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And I have quite a bit of Scripture, you know, to read as the morning goes on. So I might just kind of paraphrase the beginning of the chapter here. What was happening was the disciples were gathered together, and they were waiting to see what's going to happen next. Christ had resurrected, and they were kind of in limbo here. And Peter, verse 3 says, Simon Peter says unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into his ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So what was happening here, I don't know, did Peter give up or what, but he decided, I'm going to go fishing. And that was Peter's business, was fishing. And I imagine it was his ship, I'm not sure. But as the night went on, they didn't catch anything. And then in verse 5 it says, okay, let's keep on reading, I guess. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye will find. And they did. And of course, they had more fish than they could bring in. In verse 10, Jesus says, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter discovered that this was Christ on the shore. And he dove in the water, and they went to meet him there on the shore. But verse 15 is what I'm really looking for. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there might be a little controversy what he was talking about there, more than these. But I would like to think it's his business, his ship, the fish, the things he does for a living. And Simon, he says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And so that was kind of a burden of mine recently. God has been dealing with me on that subject. Do you love me more than the things of the earth? Do you love me more than these? And as I thought about that, there's stories that come out of countries that where Christians are persecuted that are just unbelievable, amazing. And I don't know, do we know this, but there's more people, more Christians persecuted for their faith, more people killed in these last years than ever before. In the Muslim countries, you know, they give up everything for Christ. And I was reading of one boy that, you know, they caught him with Scripture, and he had the choice, does he deny Christ or not? And because he didn't deny Christ, they tied him down to a table and chopped his right hand off and his left foot off. And the pain was excruciating, and they made so he wouldn't bleed to death, and then they drove him out in the desert and dumped him. A lot of stories where they burn people alive, where they chop their heads off. Those things are happening right now. And I was thinking, you know, what's my level of commitment? You know, I think You know, if I have to give something up, a little bit up, you know, to do this or that for the Lord, you know, I think it's terrible. But I was really convicted of that. And Revelations 21, verse 8, it talks about idolatry, the sin of idolatry. And that's something I'm really concerned about in our Mennonite circles is, you know, do we have the sin of idolatry? And if we do, we don't have a promise of eternal life. But it says there in Revelation 21, 8, it says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, and all idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what is idolatry? If you come to my house, you're not going to see an idol downstairs, you know, made of gold or silver or whatever. That's not, I mean, that was a thing of the past. Perhaps back in the Old Testament, they did a lot of that. But it's, in the Old Testament even, it's anything that separates us from God, anything that comes between us and God that is more important. And that's kind of convicting for myself. You know, what is more important? Is it my job? You know, do I spend more time? Well, of course we spend more time in our job than we do praying. But is it more important to us? You know, the typical Christian, you know, gets up in the morning, prays maybe 2 seconds or whatever, and runs to work, comes home. You know, we might spend a couple minutes reading the Bible or whatever. But is it that important to me? Talking to myself, I'm gonna use me a lot because I'm talking to myself. And then we, you know, we go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We jump into bed, and that's pretty much it. Or is it a lot more serious? And I think that's what God is, or Christ is calling to me is, lovest thou me more than these things? You know, it could be, you know, we talked about work. We could talk about sports. We could talk about the things we like to do, hunting and fishing. You know, where do I spend my money? If you look at my checkbook, that's kind of telling where I spend my money. That's what I, you know, that's what's important to me, right? And I've been really convicted about that. You know, do I spend more money buying fishing equipment, trolling things and, you know, whatever? You guys that fish, you know what I'm talking about. It takes a lot of money. Or do I give to the Lord's work? Is the Lord's work important to me? Is the Holy Spirit able to reach us? If the Spirit of God asks you to witness to someone, are you going to do it? Or do we push it off? And it's, you know, we think those things might not be that important, but it is. It's really, really, really important what our level of commitment is to Christ. And he says many times in Scripture, I think it's 7 times in the New Testament, he talks about this, but he says, he that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And what does that mean, forsake all that we have? I know we, as you know, young men, we need to provide for our families. We need to have a job. We need to work. But I think the key is this. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go into I had scripture written down here. Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22. Then we'll get back to that. So let's read that portion of Scripture, Matthew 16, 19 through 22. That's not right. It's Matthew 19, sorry. 16 through 22. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, which lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell that which thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That portion of scripture is, to me, is very sad, very, very sad. And we think, we just stop and think, that young man, what did he give up? He gave up following Christ. He gave up eternal life forever and ever. Or do you imagine that young man is today? If he didn't follow Christ, we know where he's at. He's in eternal torment, possibly. And how many times he must have regretted that decision to not give up his possessions. But, you know, he could have been one of Christ's followers. He could have been one of his disciples, possibly, here. But he didn't. It was too much for him to give up. And I'm talking to myself. I have way too much, too. Am I willing to give up my possessions? But I think here's the key. Matthew, I think it's 6. It talks about, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. And then here's the key. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I think that's the key. What do we treasure? If we treasure Christ the way we should, there's no problem. I mean, all the other stuff will fall into place. But if we don't, if we treasure other things more than Christ, according to Revelations, we are an adulterer. And it doesn't give us a whole lot of hope for eternal life if we're an adulterer. And then the other example I'd like to, and I'm not going to turn to that, but just the other example that is just mind-boggling to me if I think about it. I don't even like to think about it, but Judas Iscariot, he was one of the chosen 12. He was one of Christ's disciples. He watched people raised from the dead. He watched blind men see, the lame walk, and yet he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine that? And he gave up his eternity to be with him in heaven forever and ever. The next 100 million years for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine that? And then if I think of myself, you know, what, you know, do I have to give something up? Or can I have everything I want and then still have heaven? I guess, you know, the modern gospel is that we, you know, there is no surrender. There is no giving up. There's, you know, we just ask God to come in and then we ask him to bless whatever we decide. We ask him to bless our life and so on, and he'll bless us and he'll give us stuff all the time, but there is no surrender. So yeah, there's lot of that to think about. You know, what about me? And I'm talking to myself again. What about me? Jim Elliot, he was a missionary to the Aqua Indians back in the late 1950s, I think. I think it was late 1957 or 6. And I don't know how many of you know who Jim Elliot was, but he... Him and 5 of his friends went in to bring Christ to the Indians, and they got speared to death. They gave their life, in other words. They were just young men. But here's what he said. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that's powerful if you think about that. You're not a fool to give up whatever you have here on earth for Christ's sake. And there again, I realize, you know, we don't have, you know, we have to have things. We have to have things. We have to have material things to live, and it's nice to have things. We need vehicles to get around and stuff. But again, where is our treasure? Is it with Christ or is it with our things? I think that's the difference. So there's part two of the message is, it's kind of related to the first part, and it is, you know, surrendering, giving up my will. And I don't know about you, but the will is, yeah, let's talk about the will a little bit. God gave each of us a will. Now, we all have a will. And sometimes we have to give up our will, right? If we want to get along, especially if you're married. It doesn't work if we both want our own way, does it? In the church, everywhere, you know, it's that thing of surrendering our will. And when I was a little boy, you know, me and my dad had some closed-door sessions once in a while to help with that. And you all probably know what we're talking about, but the will needs to be broken, right? Sometimes we need to lay down our will. And for me, that's the biggest battle in life, is do I choose God's will or do I choose my own will? You know, we could give a lot of examples. But the will is something that God honors. He does not force his will upon you. If you choose something, I mean, God's not going to force you to unchoose it. It's the way it is. I mean, Satan can't even go against your will. But he tries to influence us to choose his will, of course. But our will is something that God gave us. And we're not made like birds and animals that we just do whatever God created us to do. I mean, we're special. We have a will. And so that will needs to be surrendered to Christ. And we talked about the modern gospel. In the modern gospel, we don't hear about surrender. We don't hear about repentance. We don't hear about giving up our will. But what I like to hear when someone is born again is, you know, I surrendered my life to the Lord. That's what it means. If we come to Christ, we surrender to him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what it means. A sacrifice is a complete surrender. And I'm talking to myself again, is, you know, so many times I want my own will. I choose my own will. And I look back in life, you know, I'm in my early 60s, but I look back many times where I've chosen my own will. And how much better it would have been if I would have asked God to lead and guide me. And I guess that is so important. And that is part of surrendering our life to Christ, is having him be at the head of our life, be at the throne of our heart. And life goes so much better if we, you know, we run into problems, we surrender to him. We tell him, here, Lord, here's my problem. Work it out for me. I trust in you. Put your trust in him. Lack of surrender is a lack of trusting God. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Going back to the thought I shared earlier, how much trouble I could have saved myself so many times in life if I would have just trusted the Lord, if I would have just surrendered my will to him and said, take care of it, Lord. It's amazing. And there's times that, you know, that I've done that. And I'm sure each one of you could probably share a story when you surrendered your problem to the Lord. And, you know, God worked it out for you. And he does that. I remember one time, before I was married, just one story. There's lots of stories, but I used to haul canned milk and down in Danville, Jellaway area. I did that for 16 years, and I worked hard. I had Monday mornings, I'd load that truck up. I'd get to some of the farmer's place, and there'd be 27 milk cans in the milk trough, and I'd have to pull them all out, take them outside, and throw them up in my truck, go up there and stack them in there. And I didn't get done loading till right around noon. And then coming through Loudonville, I usually stop and get something to eat, and then go on into Sugar Creek, unload, and yeah, it was a tough day. It wore you out. But anyway, that one morning, I forgot my wallet. Didn't have any money. And I was driving. I remember exactly where I was. I said, "Lord, I forgot my wallet. I don't have any money, and I don't know what I'm going to do about getting something to eat. If it's your will, you provide for me. If not, that's fine." So I'm just saying what can happen if we surrender our, you know, problems to the Lord. He can work it out. So I was, the last stop, I was pulling out milk cans out of the trough, and I was working and throwing them up in there. And I heard something, and I look around, and here comes the farmer's wife. She had a tray. She had mashed potatoes, chicken dressing. She had corn. She had it all, plus dessert on the side. And she set it down there for me, and I looked at her and I told her, "You know what? I prayed this morning that the Lord would provide for me today, and you're an answer to the prayer." And the Amish in those areas, they were kind of looking at me because they knew, you know, we had some relatives in that area. They were watching me closely, and that really spoke to her, that God would answer my prayer. But that's how God works things out if we only believe and only trust in Him. So many times I got in a tight spot where I just surrendered it to the Lord, and He took care of it. But then many times I took my own way, and I thought I knew best. I'll just, you know, kind of like if you think back for Joshua when they came over the promised land, he was following God's orders just perfectly all the time, it seemed like. But then the Gideons came over from next door and tried to make peace with Joshua, and he didn't seek the Lord. And because of that, I think it was the Gideons, they became kind of like a thorn in their side. They made a peace treaty, and then God revealed to him afterwards who they actually were. And Joshua failed not asking God's direction and His blessing. And that's so much how it is in our life, in my life. If I don't ask God to help me, He won't. The will is a stubborn thing. And like I said before, that's where I struggle the most, is surrendering my will to God's will. But the rewards are great if we do that. God blesses us. And the other thing is, I was thinking about, if we can't trust the Lord with little things in life, I mean, how can we trust Him with our salvation? How can we trust Him with our eternal life? And I've seen that in a few people that I've known over the years. Like I said, I'm in my 60s. I knew a lot of people. I knew people back that were born in the 1800s. I remember great-grandpa, he was born in the 1800s. He'd tell me stories how the 1800s. Anyway, my point is, I've seen people that have learned to trust the Lord. And when they come to the end of life, you know, it's just comes naturally just to trust the Lord with their eternal life, and they die peacefully. But if I can never learn to trust the Lord in life, can I learn to trust Him in death? And that's something I want to really work on. And I've made that commitment this past week, just to trust the Lord more and just be surrendered. Lord, take my life. Whatever you want to do with it, I'm here. I'm willing. And sometimes, that's another point, sometimes we try to seek the Lord and try to ask the Lord's will. That's kind of backwards. And what we need to do is surrender to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I'm here, whatever you have for me." Then He'll show you His will. But if, you know, I got this thing, I'm scared to go where there are snakes and lions or whatever, I'm afraid if I do that, the Lord's going to take me somewhere where I don't want to go. I'd much rather be somewhere like that in the Lord's will than be somewhere where I'm not in the Lord's will. God is able to take care of us much better than anybody else. So that's pretty much all that I have. But it's, this the importance of surrendering my will to God's will has really been impressed on me this past couple weeks. And that God will take care of me if I do, if I'm surrendered to his will. If he asks me to witness to someone, I mean, do it. Whatever God asks me to do, I want to be open. I want to be willing. And if we are that way, God will use us. He will use us. He said, he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think that's what that means. If we trust and believe in him, he will use us for his honor and glory. So just in closing here, the one verse I shared was Revelation 21:8. And then we're going to close with Revelation 21:7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And I want to leave you with that. That's tremendous. Can you imagine that? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. The things we have here on earth are just trash compared to what's in heaven. And heaven is for eternity. And it says, I will be his God. If you have him for your God, we could go back to Psalms 46, where it says, the God of hosts is with us. And if we have God with us, I mean, what more do we want? Psalms 23 says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If we have God with us, that is more riches than anything that we can even imagine. And he says, and he shall be my son. So that's what I want to leave you with. And we'll turn the time over to Tyler again. Thank you.